Canva.
6 years ago, Nick and I were designing the pitch deck for our media company.
Yeah, we didn't want it to look like some amateur college PowerPoint. We wanted to impress investors. So we made our first pitch deck on Canva.
Canva is the easy-to-use online design platform for presentations, social media posts, physical flyers, anything you can design.
Canva turns you into a digital Da Vinci, delighting your audience with design.
They got these color palettes that you can use. It makes your work look beautiful.
We used presentation templates that were available for free and then customized them for our company.
And guess what? That summer, we sold that company, Market Snacks, thanks to the deck we built with Canva.
Oh, and funny thing, we still use Canva today for all our design projects.
So Yetis, start designing today at canva.com.
Canva, designed for work.
This episode is sponsored by Audible, the home of storytelling.
Protect her.
That's from the opening chapter of The Last Thing He Told Me.
Or is it protect her?
It's protect her.
Yeah, it's like that.
It's a thrilling mystery my wife and I listened to on Audible.
It actually got adapted into a TV show, but it was way more riveting as an audiobook, wasn't it, man?
It's about a tech executive who disappears when his company gets indicted on accounting fraud.
But he disappeared to protect her. And honestly, we shouldn't say anymore. Let's stop there.
Listen to the whole audiobook on Audible while driving in the car on road trips.
And you should too. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog.
New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/tboy or text tboy to 500-500.
That's audible.com/tboy or text tboy to 500-500. Airbnb.
It's wedding season.
Yes, it is. What's going on, baby?
Alex and I just got invited to a beautiful venue for the wedding of a childhood buddy of mine.
Lovely. Can't wait to hear about
it. We got babysitters. We're all set to go.
And the first thing that you did, Jack?
Book a hotel for the wedding.
Okay, second thing that you did?
List my place as available that weekend on Airbnb.
Millions of people host on Airbnb, but millions more have never even thought about hosting.
Here's the thing. We've said it's great to make money while you sleep. Actually, Warren Buffett said that.
Well, when you're an Airbnb host, you make money while you sleep and while someone else sleeps.
That's why anytime I'm traveling, I immediately jump into Airbnb and set my house as available. It's that easy.
So Yetis, your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. This is Nick.
This is Jack.
It's Thursday, the new Friday, August 10th, and today's pod is the best one yet.
Today's pod is actually Knuff. Because I'm finally going to Barbie tonight.
I cannot believe it took you this long, Jack.
We're going to a drive-in. I'm getting a bunch of fried food before. Alex is getting a milkshake. I'm dressed in pink from waist to toe. No, head to waist. I'm not wearing lower body pink.
Yeah, this is a family-friendly show. Easy on the milkshakes over there. In the meantime, can you hit the first story for us, Jack?
WeWork CEO just said there's substantial doubt that WeWork can survive without going bankrupt.
Yeah, as we did the math, WeWork is worth $0. We calculated it.
It really is. For our second story, Tilray, the cannabis giant, just bought 8 beer brands from Budweiser.
Shocktoberfest came early because legalization came late.
And our third and final story is Dave Portnoy, the founder of Barstool Sports, sold the company for $500 million a few years ago.
But it looks like he just got the company back for free.
Because pirates don't wear ties.
And Ken don't wear shirts.
I don't know about that one.
Clearly, someone hasn't seen the movie yet.
But Yetis, before we hit that wonderful mix of stars.
I do beach, Jack. What I do is beach.
It is still so hot outside.
Oh, Yetis, it is the summer of sweat.
But you want to know how hot it really is this summer?
Jack, can you tell us how hot it really is this summer?
It is so hot, it's too hot for ice cream.
Jack, can we sprinkle on a little context to this one?
There's actually a correlation between how hot it is outside and ice cream sales.
What we're saying is higher temperature, higher ice cream sales.
If you're swallowing hot air, you're eating soft serve.
More temperature, more mint chip.
But for the first time ever, the world's biggest ice cream company just confirmed there is a limit to that reality.
It can be too hot-o for gelato.
It can be too hot-o for gelato.
Unilever, they own Ben & Jerry's, Good Humor, Breyers, Klondike Bar, all of the ice cream.
The CEO of Unilever just said that it is so hot out this summer that it's hurting sales.
Yetis, what we're looking at is the first ever midsummer ice cream sales slowdown.
Because for Unilever, ice cream sales during the first half of the year jumped by 6%.
Because it was so hot.
But the amount of ice cream they've sold this summer is actually declining.
Because it's too hot.
At a certain point, it's simply too hot for ice cream to be enjoyable.
At a certain point, that cookies and cream is a little uncomfortable.
When it's 100 degrees outside, you don't want an ice cream cone. That thing's gonna melt all over your hands no matter how quick you're licking.
100 degrees outside, you're grabbing an H2O. You gotta hydrate, not dairy drate.
You want a cold drink, not a cold ice cream cone.
We're looking at the situation. Global warming, it is melting glaciers.
But it's also melting your banana split.
So, Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies out there not enjoying an ice cream?
It turns out there's a sweet spot for ice cream sales. Literally.
And it's somewhere below, 112 degrees.
Ice cream, you scream.
But I am way too hot for ice cream, Jack.
Excuse me, I'd like an ice cream cone. Hold the cream. Just give me ice, please.
3 cubes with hot fudge on us.
It's too hot, oh, for gelato.
Yetis, let's hit our three stories. 15 years before this song, two boys from the Northeast met in the dorm. They had an idea to cause a cultural storm. It's the best one yet, but the best is the norm. Jack, Nick, that's it. I don't even think they need to practice. 50%, that's a fat tip. T-Boy City on your at list. If you know, you know, cause we ready to go. We can't wait no more, so just start the show. For our first story, WeWork just warned us that it could go bankrupt really soon.
We did some extra math and discovered that WeWork is technically worth $0 right now.
$0. But Yetis, before we jump into that, emergency team meeting by the water cooler. Everyone.
Quick! Someone grab the succulents.
Yetis, earlier this year, we talked about the WeWork comeback. It looked like it was really happening.
Yeah, work from homers were sick and tired of working from home, and they were booking space at WeWork. It was looking good.
This was just like what Alfred told Batman to get Batman back, wasn't it, Jack?
Yeah. After Adam Newman knocked WeWork down to the ground, WeWork learned to pick itself back up again.
Yes, it did, Master Wayne. And when we saw the earnings reports from WeWork, it looked like the WeWork comeback was working.
72% of WeWork desks were occupied by paying customers.
Not too shabby, Jack. Sit down, stand up, and sit back down to the WeWork again.
But WeWork CEO just gave us a new update, and it's not a good one.
WeWork CEO just said they have substantial doubts they can survive without having to declare bankruptcy. Which sounds a lot like close to bankruptcy.
Yeah. So people who own WeWork stock, they sold their WeWork stock yesterday.
WeWork stock fell 40% on the news. Massa.
Jamie isn't there to save you.
But Yetis, here's what Jack and I found fascinating about this story. Sometimes the numbers tell the story. And in this case, WeWork's numbers tell quite a story.
WeWork was once valued at $47 billion. Today, it's worth $200 million.
Yeah, the stock of WeWork is down 99% since the company went public.
The stock is trading at 13 cents per share.
And it's not just the financials. Jack, can we talk about the business itself? How are the memberships doing over at WeWork?
Membership is actually shrinking for the company. The number of members fell by 1% compared to last year.
WeWork has stopped growing. WeWork is now a shrinking company.
There is no plausible growth story you can even tell about WeWork.
But Yetis, there's actually one number that we think is the craziest number out of all these WeWork numbers.
And that's the amount of cash they have.
WeWork has $200 million of cash, but there's more to the story.
Here's why that's scary. WeWork's valuation, according to their stock price, is also $200 million.
Ipso facto, investors think WeWork's business is actually worth $0. And why is that, Jack?
The $200 million they've assigned to all the stock is just representing the $200 million of cash WeWork has in their bank accounts.
The company's cash is the same as the company's value. Therefore, the company isn't worth anything more than its cash. It's worth zero.
WeWork's brand, its buildings, its offices, its chairs, it's all worth $0 in Wall Street's eyes.
The kombucha is worth more than the company.
And the reason Wall Street thinks WeWork is worthless, it's that the business loses money year after year, quarter after quarter.
The only thing WeWork has, apparently, is the cash. And that is probably going to run out pretty soon.
Yetis, over the last 10 years, WeWork has lost more money than any company we can think of.
Pound for pound, dollar for dollar, WeWork may actually be the most money-losing company in corporate history.
Somewhere in a Manhattan boardroom right now, Adam Newman is trying to buy it back for $1.
Jamie?
Sounds like a sequel. So, Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at WeWork?
WeWork shows the importance of economies of scale.
Yetis, here is the reason why investors think WeWork is worth $0.
The business model doesn't work. Specifically, the business model has no economies of scale.
Economies of scale. Yetis, many industries get economies of scale. The bigger they get, the more efficient they run.
For example, Facebook. When it launches its app in a new country, it benefits from economies of scale.
Facebook adds more users.
So it can make more money.
But with few new costs.
All it has to do is turn the app on in a new country.
On the other hand, subleasing office space has zero economies of scale.
Every new building that WeWork expands to is another huge and costly lease that they have to pay.
The most recent WeWork city was no more profitable than the very first WeWork city.
The last building WeWork added was just as hard to make money as the first building WeWork added.
And that is why WeWork's fall shows the importance of economies of scale. For our second story, Tilray, one of the big four Canadian cannabis companies, just bought, get this, 8 beer brands from Budweiser. Why are they doing that?
Because Tilray can't hold its breath any longer.
Oh, Jack, remember what was going on in 2018, back when cannabis was like crypto? It was crazy out there.
Remember those four cannabis stock companies sprouted up like crabgrass on Wall Street?
They were like weeds all about weed. It was wild in the stock market.
One of those Canadian cannabis stocks was Tilray. Based just outside Detroit.
Yes, it was. Tilray, they grow and they sell weed. That's the business.
But here's the news. Tilray, the cannabis company, just acquired Shock Top and 7 other beer brands from the owner of Budweiser.
Shock Top. You remember Shock Top the beer. It's the beer you ordered to prove your palate was more refined than a freshman's.
Shock Top, the beer that awkwardly came with a slice of orange floating on top.
Shock Top, the poor man's blue moon.
Yeah, a lot of questions about Shock Top, but why Tilray, the $2 billion publicly traded weed company? Why are they buying a small portfolio of craft breweries?
Shock Top, the beer you buy because you can't pronounce Hefeweizen.
Well, the initial reason we think Tilray is buying Shock Top is the Franken drink trend.
The Franken drink trend. That was our first thought. These new drink concoctions that all include enhancements.
Look at the drink menu. You got spiked seltzers, caffeinated cocktails, hard kombuchas. Combination drinks are all over the menu.
Another example, the owner of Corona. They make a CBD water. Why not make a CBD IPA?
So, Nick, Tilray owns Montauk Brewing.
Interesting. And, Jack, how would we describe Montauk Brewing exactly?
The spiked seltzer of choice for anyone partying at the Sloppy Tuna.
Well, if you're Tilray, the cannabis company, and now you own these breweries, you could do some stuff with that.
Maybe you can infuse Montauk Brewing with cannabis for your buddy Timmy's bachelorette party out on Montauk.
Timmy, you like craft lager? You're going to love the craft lager with a hint of weed.
But we think there's another reason, a more desperate reason, this cannabis company is acquiring all these has-been beer brands.
Yes, we do. So, Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over in the cannabis industry?
These beers are an oxygen tank, because the cannabis industry is running out of breath.
Yeah, it is. The future of Tilray's cannabis opportunity, it depends on one thing and one thing only.
Federal legalization.
Yep. The CEO of Tilray, he's been saying it for years.
We have tremendous opportunities upon legalization.
But the way Jack and I see it, we hope he's not holding his breath, because there is no sign of federal legalization of cannabis in America right now.
And Tilray is not going to profit selling weed just up north in Canada.
Tilray wishes it could serve America's cravings by selling everyone cannabis.
But it can't. So until it can, it's going to sell them old beer brands that we forgot were still around.
And that's why we think this beer deal is really an oxygen tank.
Because Tilray is running out of breath. Shocktoberfest came early because legalization is coming too late. I was hoping you would do that. I was hoping you would exhale.
It just felt right.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Yetis, how good is the feeling of finally getting something off your chest?
You've been wanting to say it. You've been waiting to say it.
But you bottled it up.
In Waspy, Vermont, where I grew up, we didn't talk much about our problems. We were encouraged to keep them to yourself.
Yetis, bottling up your feelings is just horrible for you, because eventually it blows up with an outburst, and then while it's stewing, it makes your whole stomach feel terrible.
We encourage you to get it off your chest. And the perfect place to do that is therapy.
You will not believe how good it feels to say something that has been left unsaid, and you can practice with a therapist and then end up telling your loved ones the best way possible later on.
You don't have to tell them, but you could. It's 100% up to you. Oh, and by the way, what you tell your therapist remains completely confidential.
So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/T-Boy today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/T-Boy. For our third and final story, Barstool Sports just got unacquired by founder Dave Portnoy. He's taking it back.
The acquisition of Barstool Sports failed because pirates don't wear ties.
Yetis, Jack and I used to work in the finance industry, and we've told you about the dirty little secret we noticed about mergers and acquisitions.
The dirty little secret is that 2/3 of deals fail.
2 out of 3 M&A deals just don't work out.
And here's one to add to the list. Barstool Sports getting acquired by Penn Gaming.
3 years ago, Barstool Sports was sold to a gambling company for $500 million.
It was the biggest financial moment for a blog since Pedro Bean Don Zimmer.
Hey, Noma!
But this week, we learned that Penn wants a refund.
Yeah, they do.
Unfortunately for Penn, there's no refunds in mergers and acquisitions.
Just called our banker, Goldman says, on the refunds, Jack.
So Penn Entertainment just sold back Barstool Sports to Dave Portnoy for an undisclosed amount.
And Jack, do we have an idea of what that undisclosed amount was, my friend?
Our guess is that the gambling company gave Barstool back to its founder for nothing.
Nothing. Jack, we've got to pause the pod and recap that for a quick moment for the Yetis.
Dave Portnoy sold his company 3 years ago for $500 million, but just got it back for free.
Yetis, can you sit down, stand up, and just sit with this for a moment?
Imagine you built a house with your bare hands and then sold that house to somebody for $500 million. And then that buyer gives the keys back to you for free.
And not only that, Jack, it's like the buyer made renovations to improve the house, and then they gave you the keys back.
For free.
For free.
That's what just happened to Dave Portnoy and Barstool Sports.
Now, Yetis, Jack and I should sprinkle on a little more context here.
Because there are some strings attached to the deal.
As it turns out, Dave Portnoy has to sign a non-compete, meaning Barstool Sports can't ever, ever again partner with another betting app.
And sports betting is the biggest advertiser for a sports media company like Barstool.
Oh, another string? Dave Portnoy had to promise that he will never, ever launch his own sports betting app.
There will not be a Pardon My Take betting app.
And finally, if Barstool Sports were to ever sell itself again, then Penn Gaming would get 50% of the proceeds.
But Dave went on Instagram yesterday to announce the deal and promised he would never, ever, ever sell Barstool again.
Yet he's gaining independence did cost Dave Portnoy some things, but independence can be priceless. If you know, you know. So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Barstool Sports?
Pirates don't wear ties.
Yetis, what Penn Gambling wanted when it bought Barstool Sports was a huge base of sports betting customers.
But what it got was someone in the boardroom who would constantly interrupt meetings with Yankee suck chants.
No ma!
Who's with me? Yankees suck, right?
Because Yetis, the controversial stuff Barstool published in its podcast kept getting its owner, Penn, in trouble.
Penn operates in the gambling industry, an industry so regulated, you want to avoid controversy like that.
Great point. Like the Kansas Gaming Commission, it could cancel Penn's gambling license just because of some Barstool drama.
And that's the kind of stuff that was happening after it acquired Barstool.
The only way that Barstool would have worked is if they put a tie on it.
But pirates don't wear ties.
Jack, can you whip up the takeaways for the new Friday?
WeWork just warned Wall Street that bankruptcy could be coming because it's running out of money.
The fundamental problem, no economies of scale.
For our second story, Tilray now owns Shock Top Beer. What?
Because it's an oxygen tank. The cannabis industry is holding its breath for legalization.
And our third and final story is Barstool. It's 100% owned by Dave Portnoy after Penn gave it back to him for free.
The acquisition didn't work because pirates don't wear ties.
But Yetis, this pod's not over. yet. Here's what else you need to know today.
First, UPS just reported that its top drivers are going to make, get this, $170,000 a year at the end of their new contract.
And it's all thanks to that new deal that the union struck last week.
And second, President Biden just signed a new executive order banning investments in some particular Chinese industries.
The U.S. cannot support China in artificial intelligence, semiconductor chips, or quantum computing.
And finally, Disney is raising prices for Disney Plus and cracking down on password sharing.
Disney Plus was $7 a month when it launched in 2019. It's $14 a month starting in October.
Now time for the best fact yet. This one sent in by Stephen Horwitz in lovely Silver Spring, Maryland.
Remember the Linda shortage we told you about?
Linda shortage. Jack, I haven't seen a Linda in weeks now. They're anywhere. They're nowhere.
Turns out Stephen's wife's name is Linda, and so are lots of songs named Linda.
It's an endangered species, but not in the music industry. There are a whopping 579 songs with the name Linda.
Barry Manilow, Bruce Springsteen, the Beach Boys, they've all written songs with Linda in the title.
There's even a rock band called the Linda Lindas. They doubled down on the Linda Jack.
Linda. Turns out it's the 13th most popular name used in music.
Sorry, Susan.
Layla is way behind.
Yetis, you look fantastic today. And the best way you can help us grow the show every day, turn to that buddy next to you and say, H-Y-H-T-B-O-Y.
Have you had the best one yet? Send him a link to the show. Let him have a chance.
Extra credit if that person's a Linda.
Nick and I will see you tomorrow.
If she is, buy her a shock top. And before we go, happy birthday to Yeti Fred Frombon, who's turning 39 while climbing Machu Picchu. Fred, send us some pics from up there.
Happy birthday to Ayla Anime Wong in Colorado.
And Brandon Littles is celebrating that birthday on a run through Buffalo.
Happy 41st birthday to Abhay Jain in Irvine, California.
And Ari Bell, happy 28th birthday down in Boogie Down, Nashville.
And happy birthday to Linda Cruz, who's celebrating on a cruise.
That's our Linda. And congratulations to Leanne Dolan and Eamon Cunningham, who just got engaged in Porto, Portugal. Let's see some ring pics. Not too shabby.
And a big congratulations to Kaz and Nikki K, who just adopted a rescue puppy.
Troy Boy of Seattle, congratulations on your new home.
Because puppy. Yeah. This is Jack Eilenstock of Unilever, Disney, and Netflix. Quick, someone grab the succulents. If you like the best one yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.